for this age-old tradition that no matter where we have been in the course of the old week, those who are called by your name come together to share of the word of life, to sing your glory together, to ascribe to you, the owner of life, the glory and the praise that is due to you. You are home to us, and we thank you for the privilege of meeting. Father, this morning we pray that you please open and give to us a glimpse of that glorious kingdom that you won for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I rest our spirit. I pray that our spirit will be tuned aright to meet the challenges of the current week. I ask that it will please you to magnify the Lord Jesus amidst us. Show to us the things of eternity. Open to us your word. Like the psalmist said, open our eyes, Father, that we may behold wondrous things from your word. We thank you for this moment, Father. We pray that every spirit will be tuned in, Lord, to hear, to understand. We rebuke that old dragon, the evil one, who comes to steal the word from the heart. Father, we thank you and we bless you. I ask for your wisdom to speak the words of Jesus, to declare his majesty this morning. Father, to put my brothers and sisters in remembrance as you have commanded all things whatsoever that you have taught us. Thank you, Lord. We ask for your peace to be with us as we share your word this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 So we thank the Lord and bless his name. This morning, I just want to share a few Bible passages with us. And I'd like to just talk about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know if we're going to do any formal preaching. But I just want to commend you, the people of God, to our Savior and our Master, Jesus Christ. And I would like to do this because increasingly recently it's been just been dawning on me that it's possible to be a Christian without really knowing Jesus for who he is. It is possible to embrace a form of faith that is high on this general idea of godliness and righteousness and love, but very low on the majesty and the glory and the key of David, the root of Jesse, very low on Jesus. I think several times we've, as Christians, we all know that it's not often difficult to talk about God. But when we start talking about Jesus, that's when the trouble is. Because it's a rock of offense. And increasingly what I've noticed, I don't know what you all have noticed, is it's almost rare to go around and encounter Jesus in the lives of Christians. It's very easy to embrace a form of Christianity that is frankly utilitarian. It works for me. It works for my business. It works for my mind. And forget to test whether it works for Jesus. Because, brethren, the reason for our faith is not us. The reason for our faith is that the Lord has decided, the Lord God has decided to exalt his Son and give to his Son many brothers. God has been known since the book of Genesis, but salvation came only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what differentiates Christianity from every other religion, and many religions preach much the same things that we preach. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not until you're a Christian that you know to love your children, not to do evil to your neighbors. But only Christianity exalts the personhood of the man God, the true righteousness of mankind, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and I. And it's been, I've been personally reflecting on why there's no power, why there's, we talk broadly now about righteousness, about peace, about holiness. There's a lot of Christian publication, but there's a decrease in true holiness, in true internal transformation. The Bible says that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a true conversion of the heart. And I'm asking this morning, and I challenge all of us in the word of God that says, test yourself whether you're in faith. Are you really changed by the power of Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you been to Jesus for that cleansing blood? Brethren, I'm not saying, have you become a better person since you started attending church? Brethren, I'm not saying, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Those are all necessary. But I'm saying, are you truly, can you say you have encountered Jesus in a transformative way in your life? In the book of John chapter 3, I like us to read a conversation between a man, Nicodemus, a religious man, and if you give me the liberty of contextual interpretation, I'll say in the age when he was living in, his group, his kind of man was the one they called religious or godly. Any one of you who are watching the series Chosen, you see how revered the Pharisees were. So in short, he was the Christian of his age, the churchgoer. He was of the population of Israel, those who had taken the time to know the law, to study the mind of God in Moses, just like us. He's one of those who are not on golf courses on Sunday mornings, if they had golf then. One of those who will close their businesses on Sunday, on Saturday in their case. He took seriously, just like us. He acknowledged the God of his father, Moses, the laws of Moses. He separated himself from his colleagues and he became excellent in the law. Just like you have separated yourself and you take seriously the religious ideas of prayer, attending church, not ignoring the things of God. But he was also a very perceptive man. He knew it was not just enough. He was not just interested in the law and knowing it. Every other person within the religious establishment was. They felt they had it and they were comfortable. But as this man was curious enough to always do what Paul advised us to do, which is to test ourselves whether we are really in faith. So he began to hear a man called Jesus on the streets of Palestine. And this man called Jesus, we preach from the same scriptures and say many of the things that Nicodemus already knew. But this man called Jesus was also saying some things that Nicodemus did not know. All the other Pharisees will say, yeah, what's he saying? Well, we're qualified. We're the ones teaching. That's why I knew that. We know the Ten Commandments. We fast twice a week. We do. And they were satisfied. But Nicodemus wanted to be sure. So he went to Jesus.
And he went to Jesus by night. Whatever it takes. He had attended all of the Pharisaical committees, Sanhedrin, all those meetings. He was perfect according to the law of Moses. But he was a wise man saying, Lord, what else am I missing? Let's keep reading there. Said this man in verse 2 came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher and you are from God, because no one can do these signs that you do unless God has sent him. Then the Lord said, don't toast me. I know why you are here. Let me just go to the crux of the matter with you, Nicodemus. I assure you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. These words trouble me for the church today. I know you're a teacher of the Pharisees. I know you know the laws of Moses. You know all the edicts and the histories of the church. I know you have done all the Bible studies. I know you attend every service. But are you born again? And this man Nicodemus was shocked. And that is it. If you encounter to go to Jesus and say, Lord, what else? He's going to tell you things that will shock you. My prayer is that the deficiency in your life will not be discovered first at the throne of judgment. You know, in Christianity, especially our kind of, they have pampered us so much. They make us comfortable. They give us a set of boxes to check and persuade us we are marching on the road to eternity. We hardly get challenged to take a pause and examine ourselves relative to the standard of Christ. So there are many people today that the first time that they will hear of what the Lord expects of them will be at the judgment throne, and it will be too late. Remember that passage? Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not do this in your name? Did I not cast out demons? He said, I never knew you. Get away from me. That man will wish that he had asked these questions of the Lord before that day when he met him on the judgment, because he truly was preaching. He truly was doing all the things that he said. He wouldn't be lying directly in the face of Christ. And this morning, what I wonder, as I wonder for myself every day for you brothers, is have you bothered to go to Jesus and say, what is the unless in my life? We're so preoccupied with the things that we're doing right that we forget that he that has called us to perfection. However you define that, it seems to me that at the minimum, perfection could be described as continuous striving towards a point of excellence. And we all sit here, we are professionals, most of us on the call, if not all. And we all know that in each of our crafts, the moment you stop striving to get better, you start going down. And it's the same for Christianity. You don't rest. Whether it's business, medicine, there's continuous improvement, there's continuous education. If not, you will get left behind. That's why even doctors, they keep telling them to do board and board. I wonder why are they doing board? And they treating, are diseases changing? Is pathology changing? But obviously, treatments and strategies and everything is changing. And the board of medical, whatever they call their board, keeps insisting that these guides must continue to study. Does Jesus expect less of you and I in Christianity? That's why the church is decadent. Because the moment you stop, woe is he who is at ease in Zion. Seasons are changing. We keep winding the clock. with every time we switch the season and wind the clock, it's 1 year closer to the time when Jesus will come. So Nicodemus was the wise Pharisee. And the Lord, who does not beat around the bush, gave it to Nicodemus. I could praise you for being a Pharisee. I could praise you for taking the time to even come here and see me, because most of your mates are not even interested. I could praise you, Nicodemus, for many things. But I know why you're here. You want to find out what is missing. And what is missing with you, Nicodemus, is that you must be born again. And the Lord is ready to have a good conversation with each one of us, that we take the time to go and ask him, Lord, my master, what is the unless in my life? I say most Christians, we're not interested in that. We go about as though Christianity is about, have you said your prayers and read your Bible? Whatever you do with the Bible passage, it doesn't matter. Just say your prayers and read the Bible. But that is not true Christianity. True Christianity is the Spirit of the Lord working in us. It is not the readers and the preachers of the word that will propel, those who do the work that's in it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, but how can a man be born if he's already old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Blessed be the Lord. I dare say, brethren, that what if you bother to just slow down and stop congratulating yourself this morning? If you want a true encounter with Jesus, there's nobody who has had a personal conversation with Jesus that went away without his heart being thrown. The Lord will throw you a curveball somewhere. He's the one that measures the limits of our wisdom, and he's going to hit you in a place where you will be weak, because he totally wants to transform. He wants to first destroy your confidence in yourself, in your structure, and make you afresh in the likeness of himself. The word teaches us to be confident. The Lord Jesus wants to break down that confidence. He said, we're not the circumcision that has confidence in the flesh. If you are honest enough to set aside what you think you already know about Jesus and ask him in sincerity, he's going to hit you in a place that will be painful. The Lord hits this man because here's a man who already thought he was a professor of the law. And he's hearing born again. So what is that? I've never heard this before. What you're saying, Lord, does not make sense to me. And the Lord said to him, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, and don't let's miss what is important to this man and to the Lord, because the next statement is, and if it's important to you, note what the issue is here. It's how can I enter the kingdom of God? Say, unless you are born of water and you are born of the Spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Because Nicodemus was talking about being born of water. That's the extent of the born that he knew. Some of us, the extent of the born again we know is that we raised our hand and said we wanted to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then someone declared you born again. But you cannot born yourself again now. We use that phrase, we're accepting the Lord Jesus. Let me give you, number one, that phrase is not in scriptures. Because you can no more accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a stone can keep itself buoyant when you toss it into a bucket of water. The Lord must accept you.
You can make yourself ready and indicate and cry to the Lord. He that cries unto the Lord shall be saved. But when your cry meets with the redemptive grace of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are now of Christ. So I ask you again, are you born of water and of the Spirit? When was your birthday? Christ was essentially saying, I'm not talking about the kind of natural birth. And I think to that was Nicodemus, because the whole concept of following Jesus was new to him. But to us, Jesus is saying this morning, I'm not talking about attending church. I'm not talking about trying to be good. I'm not talking about saying a sinner's prayer. I'm talking about a transformative experience with the Holy Ghost. Where you are able to say, I met with Jesus and my life has never been the same since then. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I implore all of us, you know, in things non-spiritual, I've had occasions when I've been speaking with a few people. And one thing I've learned in counseling is, or one thing I've learned wrong in the way we process information, whether someone is trying to go into business or dealing with a personal problem, is that we ask only the convenient questions. You know, we ask... I'll give an example that so that it could be a little clearer. Someone comes to you and says, oh, there's a lot of money in nursing, right? Go and study nursing. Oh, no, I think technology may be a better example. They say, oh, there's a lot of money in testing. Go and study testing. Oh, actually, I even have someone that is doing evening classes to help you to be a great tester. And then you go, ah, money, testing. So oh, once you complete it, they will pay you $8,000 per year. Yeah. Eh? And you go, wow, with all this odd job that I make, I'm only making 40. I can do just by doing testing, yes. And so this poor person, we go and withdraw from all the money he has, give some of our brothers and Indian brothers and sisters, they run a lot of these classes. They say 2,000, put their 2,000 in it. And after work every day, they will go for testing 6 weeks and they will study and they will know how to test. And then testing is over. You now go back to the person who told you, ah, testing is over. I know how to do testing now. Say, okay, I need a job for 80,000. Then the person will say, bring out, we must first do a resume, you know, and then you bring out a sheet of paper. They do resume for you. And you now look at the resume and you go, 2 years testing experience because I helped to debug the computer in New Covenant Church. 3 years testing experience, full of lies. And you go, no, I'm a Christian. I can't do this. And they say, look, if you cannot lie, nobody is hiring entry-level testers. They say, but why didn't you tell me before I went to put my time and energy into learning testing? And I said to people, it's because you did not ask the second and third questions. You just heard there's money in testing. Did you ask what other things need to be in place in order for me to succeed? Will I be able to succeed in it? We ask convenient questions even in our faith. But we must learn to ask whole, third, fourth, cover all the angles. When someone came to Lord Jesus and said, I will follow you. The Lord made it clear that foxes have holes and something have nests, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He who cannot deny himself and daily pick up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. The Lord made clear details that it's not just a matter of committing to attend church. It's not just a matter of coming to prayer meeting. It's not just a matter of attending this.
It's not a matter of I prayed and the Lord answered my prayer. This commitment to follow Jesus is all-encompassing, and it's greater than all of this. The Bible says, was it John 5, after the Lord preached one day, said some people listening to him said, this is hard saying. The Lord Jesus was not hiding anything from the people who heard him. He said, who can bear this? The scriptures told us that many stopped from that moment to follow him. Are you born again? Have you counted the cost? Do you really want to follow Jesus to eternity? Are you ready? Verse 6. The Lord made it clear to us. That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't conflate the two. Don't come to Jesus because of business. Don't use Jesus as the excuse for just healing. Don't use Jesus as a medium for earthly things. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. The Christianity, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is the faith that is full of hope and glory. At times, it may require the suffering of the flesh. Don't let your Christianity be predicated on just good times with the Lord. Because the faith of our Lord Jesus is not exclusively good times. Don't let the preaching, the fellowship you like, be only fellowships of convenience. Don't let it be just the singing of hymns and songs, the goosebumps in the hands, the fluttering of the heart. Tell all your happiness in the happiness of a good praise and worship session. Real Christianity is when you're passing through fire, are you the same person as when you're a billionaire? The constant is Jesus. You must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. Unfortunately, we've made faith about flesh today. But our Lord Jesus Christ always talks about a kingdom to come. In the heart. It says, so do not marvel of verse 7 that I say to you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants. You hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's no formula to it. You only feel it. Christ was saying, when you are born again, it becomes obvious. There's no formula. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. He will transform your life totally. Everyone on this call who has encountered Jesus knows what I'm talking about. It's impossible for you to encounter Jesus Christ and nothing has changed. In fact, all things will change. It's like the wind. You can't explain. It's not a formula. We have tried to make it into a formula. Say these certain words, attend this program, and you are born again. No, it's like the wind. But this morning, that wind is available to all of us. People, you cannot be born again and still be your own man. It's impossible. The whole church, Catholic, ecclesia, worldwide, cannot change the rule of God. We must always go by the word of God. As I close, remember those times when we used to know born-again Christians. How did we know who was born again? I'm challenging anybody that is bold to talk.
By their way of life.
Yes.
A conduct.
By their conduct. What was about their speech? Let me use speech. What was about their speech and conduct and way of life that let us know that when you send a child to secondary school and they are back and they are born again, that is not the same child that you sent and dropped off that you are receiving back. It's not hypothetical, brother. I'm going to close now. I promise you, I'm not going to take any more time. So please, speak up. I'll call names.
It's all about Jesus for them. The speech centered around Jesus. Conduct, same.
Thank you, Alagba.
Dressing, same.
I remember my sister, when she came back from Ilorin, you know, she came back differently. Was always praying. She was always encouraging us in the word of God. So we knew that something different happened to her when she went to Ilorin and when she came back. The first year, that she had encountered Christ, and that's what spread to the rest of the family.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Is there a Jesus flavor to your life? Is there a Jesus flavor? I know there's fake Jesus flavor. You know what? That's not what we're talking about. When was the last time that the person of Jesus appealed to you in your conversation? Are you the kind of person who raises Jesus in your team of very cute business and by business, I mean work partners? Are you the one that feels restless when you haven't felt the presence of your Savior for a few hours? Or is your Christianity about yourself? There's always a decidedly Jesus. If you are truly born again, the first sign is that you want to please Jesus. We close. We have labored very hard, all of us. While the rest of the world rejects Christ, we've tried to know him. I challenge you to take it one step further and be restless until Jesus knows you. Take nothing for granted, my brethren. Nothing is ever the way it seems, even in the world. Be the kind of Christian that asks the second and third questions of yourself. Be very honest about your relationship. Don't eat hook, line, and sinker the mode of faith that the worldwide church is selling to you. Prepare yourself for the bridegroom. Be the virgin with a little oil. There are not a lot of them. There are not a lot of Christians, brethren. People who are moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Are you that kind of person? Are you the kind of person that is sad unless you feel, no matter what you have in your bank account and how well your family life, how well your job is doing? Do you still feel something when you're not feeling Jesus? David was a man that leaned so much on God. He wanted God, not stuff. He wanted his God. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be a king or whatever in the something of, I forget the last construct. He said his desire is that he may behold the beauty of his God and inquire in his temple. It's your desire to behold the beauty of Jesus and inquire in the temple of Jesus. Are you okay with religion? As long as you know how to explain it, you agree with it, that's fine. Is that okay with you? He said, do not be mocked. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked.
There's a fight on. Jesus is not going about Jerusalem patting heads as we speak. He's standing, he's looking for those who are truly seeking for him. And there are few. That proverb says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the very end of it is the way to hell. Nicodemus felt he was on the way. He did not know that the way was the way to hell until he heard, you must be born again. Unless. What is your own unless? I know what I'm saying is not palatable, but it's necessary. There will come a time when we will no longer need to have this conversation. But as I speak this morning, we have an adversary called the devil. And his sole job, and he's pretty good at it, is to make sure that when Jesus comes, we will not be acceptable to him. Like he told the Lord Jesus, he's ready to give us all the wealth of the world. He's ready to give us anything, just so that the promise that Christ has given us in himself at the end of age may elude us. Are you going to let that elude you? We went through Revelations and the seven churches, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ there, just talking, rebuking, say, look, I know your works. You're doing this well. You're doing well done, new covenant. You've covered this ground. You've covered this ground. But unless... And I will say to my Lord, but you already finished the work. In Acts chapter 1, we saw you ascending. You had done all the preaching, and it was finished on the cross. Why are you coming back in Revelation? It's because there are unlesses. What is the unless in your life? These are not words. We're not pumped up. We're not happy. We're not jumpy, but... if Christ were to come today, what is the unless in your life? Let us pray. You said, be sober, Father, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom to him he might devour. And you said we should resist him steadfastly. Give us the grace not to have peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from knowing that we are ready. Whether you come in the morning or in the night, give us the grace not to be satisfied with watching movies, with attending graduations, marrying children, prospering, getting great jobs, buying houses, all the things that perish with the use. You said, Mary here has chosen the better part, the part that will never be taken from her. Help us not to be satisfied with optics of prosperity, but the real substance of prosperity, that we found your word and we ate it, and your word was the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. Help us to be like David, always looking, how may I please you? What have I done wrong? Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart. Restore the right spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Is there any man here, Father, who once knew you and no longer knows you or woman as they used to? I pray that you will restore the joys of salvation that set us apart, that inner joy that even when we were broke, we were still full of joy. Father, please restore it. Let your kingdom come. Amen. And let your will be done on earth. Pray that the thing that we most break our hearts will be if we are by any chance out of alignment with you for a second. Help us, Father. And this morning we pray for our sister Kemi. We pray for our sister Sally. We pray for our sister Stacy. Lord, you are our healer.
Father, your word said it is not our business to worry about stuff. That what we need to do is to thank you, beg you, supplication, and then to let you know what we want. Father, we put into your hands our sister Kemi, our sister Sally, our sister Stacy, until they join us by the restoration that comes only from you, darling Jesus. We will continue to bother your throne of heaven because you can do anything. But I pray that your hands will be on each of them today, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for our diseases, those amidst us who are sick, that you are restoring their health. Thank you. We thank you for those who have needs and you have supplied the needs. Thank you for the love amidst us in this church. Father, the things that remain within us, give us the grace to strengthen it. Let Satan not take it from us. Anything that is missing, Father, please replenish. We thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We thank the Lord for his word this morning. Sister Bola, please lead us in the closing hymn.